ministry in our lives. So beginning in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tonight, down through verse 16, we will learn more about God's Holy Ghost. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But I agree. It's wow. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you speak to us through your powerful word as we are reminded tonight about the amazing ministry of the Holy Ghost in our Christian walk. And Lord, may we learn, even through this message, how important it is that we be filled and led by the Spirit of God. May you be glorified and guide us in your perfect will tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice verse 9, he makes it very clear. This is a very important verse. It's even an eternal security verse, if you will, that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you're not saved. That's pretty powerful truth when you think about how many people in the world believe you can lose your salvation. How many people in the world teach that you can lose the Holy Ghost and get him back and lose him and get him back. When this verse says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not a Christian. You are not saved. Look at Ephesians 1:13, if you would, and we'll see that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit seals us. When he moves in, he seals us, and this is a seal of God, of Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Notice first Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see that word after that shows up twice? So after you heard the gospel, and after ye believed the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you look at chapter 4, verse 30, the Bible tells us how long we are sealed. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until you sin. It's not what it says, is it? You're sealed until you trip up. That's what a lot of people teach. No, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen? And for us, that is when God takes us to glory. That's when our body will be redeemed and our redemption will be complete. So the Holy Spirit has many ministries in our life, but for us as Christians, the first thing is that he moves in and he seals us. He indwells us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, let's turn there, where the Bible makes it clear that we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then this amazing event occurred when the Holy Spirit came down and actually moved in and indwelled Christians. It hadn't happened up to then. He told the disciples during his ministry, he's with you and he shall be in you. So he wasn't indwelling at that point, not until after Jesus went back to heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? This also proves the deity of the Holy Ghost, does it not? Because it says we're the temple of who? God. But then it goes on to say, but it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. So which is it? Yes, it's God. The Holy Ghost is God. So the Holy Spirit in our in our lives as Christians, the first thing in his ministry in our lives is he indwells us. And he indwells us until the day of redemption. And then he says down in verse 11 of our passage, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, this is the same thing, essentially. But what it's saying is the Holy Spirit has a part in our salvation. And that's not just the moving in the sealing, but he actually has a part in saving us. The reason is because he is God. And it's God that saves us. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So just like the Holy Ghost was involved in the initial creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the Spirit of God is also involved in our recreation. Amen? So he saves us and indwells us and seals us. That word quicken means to give life. So his initial ministry in our life is to have a part in saving us, indwelling us, sealing us until the day of redemption. Once he moves in then, his ministry in our life is to lead us. Notice chapter 8, verse 14 of Romans. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the Holy Spirit isn't here to be passive in our lives. He's here to be active in our lives. He's here to lead us. But the thing about the Holy Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 4:30, he can be grieved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says it can be quenched. So he's here to lead us, but he does not take over our will and force us to follow him. We have to, as we saw in chapter 6, we have to yield. We have to let him lead us. We cannot just say, "Oh, because I'm a Christian, now God will lead me and take over." No, it doesn't work like that. We're not robots. We have a free will. And he is willing to lead us, but we must let him lead us. Now, this leading involves a lot of things, and we'll talk about a few this evening. Go to John 14:26. But what does it mean on a practical sense for the Holy Ghost to lead us? And this is not, for example, like the charismatics teach, that you blame the Holy Spirit for everything. "Oh, well, yeah, I did that, but the Holy Spirit was leading me." The Holy Spirit will never lead you to sin, and he will never lead you to do anything contrary to the Word of God, because he is God. But he gets blamed for so much today, and that's not right. If he's leading us, he's leading us to obey God and obey God's Word. But anyway, chapter 14, verse 26, part of him leading us is that he teaches us the Word of God. Notice John 14:26, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you." So he plays a part in teaching us the word when we read it and when we study it and so forth. That's why the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man referring to the unsaved. He can't understand the Bible because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit to interpret it for him and teach him the Word of God. So he can read it and read it and read it, but he's just not going to ever get it. But once you're saved, you have the author living inside of you. Amen? And he's there to teach you the Word of God. While he's teaching, notice in that same verse, one of his names is the Comforter. So another part of his leading ministry is he's there to comfort us. He's there to teach us all things. Now, while you're in John, go to chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So there's that teaching ministry. As we read Revelation, he shows us things to come. But it says he will also guide us. So that's part of his leading ministry, is he teaches us, he comforts us, he guides us. Now let's go to Galatians 5. In verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember, he's here to lead us, but it's up to us to walk in him. Amen? And if we will, down in verse 22 of the same chapter, Galatians 5, what's it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As we walk in the Spirit and let him lead us, we will bear this fruit. It doesn't say the fruit of man, does it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's a capital S there in Galatians 5:22. He is the one who bears fruit in our lives. So if we're a fruit-bearing Christian, it's because we're being led by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Just turn there. So his first initial ministry in our lives is he moves in. He saves us. He indwells us. He seals us until the day of redemption. Then, after he's moved in, he is there to lead us. And part of that is to teach us, to guide us, to bear fruit in our lives. And also notice Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. That's something we have to do on our part, is let him fill us so that he is the one that's leading us. So the Holy Spirit is there to seal us and indwell us, but he's also there to lead us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He is there to empower us. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So let's go to verse 15 now and see another ministry he has in our lives, which is beautiful. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The adoption ministry of our salvation is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that makes us part of God's family. We're in a new family now. Amen. We have a new Father, the Father of all. And we now are children of God. But the Holy Spirit plays a role in that and adopts us into a new family. The Spirit, he's referred to here as the Spirit of adoption. So he is involved in making us part of God's family. And then verse 16, this is a beautiful truth. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit of God communicates with the spirit of man. We're told in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. Amen? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we are worshiping the Lord corporately in our prayer closet, it doesn't matter. We must be doing it with our spirit, which has been given life by the Holy Spirit. And notice, he bears witness with our spirit. So he communicates with our spirit and gives us not only this assurance that we are God's children, but if you look down in verse 26, he also then takes our prayers and makes them acceptable to God. And that's a beautiful part of his ministry. Notice it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So because we are weak and sinful and frail, we do our best and we pray, but then the Holy Spirit takes those prayers, as it says here, and intercedes on our behalf and makes our prayers acceptable to God. That's part of him bearing witness with our spirit. Now, this is just kind of an introduction to his ministry here in Romans 8. But the Holy Spirit is not here, as we read, to speak of himself. So we're not to be overly talking about him, but we are to be surrendering and yielding unto him and walking in him and letting him fill us so that we can, verse 14, be led by him. This is a very important part of being an effective Christian, is being led by the Spirit of God. Letting him teach us, as we saw in John 14, letting him guide us, walking in him, being filled with him, bearing his fruit, as we saw in Galatians 5, being empowered by him, having him intercede in our prayer life. He does all of this quietly in the background. He's the silent partner of the Trinity, if you will. He doesn't speak of himself, doesn't promote himself. He promotes Jesus. But think where we would be if we didn't have him indwelling us, leading us, convicting us, which we didn't talk about from John 16. But the Holy Spirit indwells us. As he said there, the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. He moved in the day we got saved. He's there to stay until the day of redemption. We need to yield to him. We need to let him lead us. We need to be filled with him. We need to walk in him so that he can accomplish all these amazing things in our Christian life. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder tonight about the Holy Ghost of God, his ministry in our lives. We are so thankful that he is in our lives and we are his temple. I pray, Lord, that we'll be more sensitive to that great truth, that we actually have our Creator and living inside of us, and we need to be led by him, to not quench him, to not grieve him, but to allow him to lead us and empower us, that we might be effective servants of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.